This just in, Pope Francis and Joe Biden team up with Davos to mandate health passports worldwide. New video surfaces of the terrifying insurrection of January 6th. Plus, Francis makes it official. Pope Benedict's hermeneutic of continuity is dead on arrival. John Lennon's Imagine dominates the Tokyo Olympics. And Bishop Tobin stands strong with the fraternity of St. Peter. All that and more tonight from the editor's desk. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Mack coming to you once again from the offices of the Remnant newspaper with an exciting announcement. Next week, we will be painting the walls of our brand new RTV studio. True story. Now, it needs a little love. In fact, it needs a lot of love. Am I right?
Brand new to us.
Yeah, it needs a lot of love. But we're going to move into it hopefully the next couple of weeks after we get the paint on the walls. We're almost there. If you want to help us out with that, please see the link below. And I want to say in all seriousness, thank you so much for your support over the years. You know, I think we've got the greatest audience on the internet today. I really do. And your prayers, your emails, the support we get from the comments over here, it's fantastic. And also thanks to the podcasters, folks who are listening to us on Spotify and the rest. God bless you all. I know it's tough right now, and I really appreciate your friendship, your support, your alliance as we all go through this nightmare where the wheels seem to be coming off the whole world right now. We get ready for COVID, I guess, coming back here in a few weeks. So it's all happening again. We're going to make it, and we need to stick together. We need to keep those clans together. So thank you, and God bless you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tess Mullins at Remnant TV. As YouTube continues to crack down on us, we need your help, and it's so easy. Click the link below to get on Michael Matt's eBlast list so we can tell you when we post a new video. Also, donate at the link below to help us build up our alternative to big tech, remnant-tv.com. And if nothing else, get one of these t-shirts and help us spread the word. Remnant TV is a team effort, and we can't do it without you.
I'm also very grateful tonight to, and I'm serious, Father Jimmy Martin. His magazine, America Magazine, has posted an article on the Pope's lunatical crackdown on the Latin Mass that makes a point that I want to comment on tonight, actually. Been a long time since I agreed with anything that was in America Magazine, but I agree with this article. And Father Jimmy and I, we go way back. In fact, we had a very meaningful little exchange on the Borgo Pio in the Vatican just a couple of years ago. Maybe some of you remember this.
Well, now he's on the high because he had a private audience with His Holiness. And I think he's coming up here behind me again, you know? Look at him go.
Morning, Father. Good to see you.
I'm sorry, right. Babe. When that cat sucks, say something back.
Man, that is just nauseating.
But in all seriousness, last week, Father's Magazine confirmed a very important point. That it's not just traditionalists, not just traditional Catholics, not just tradition-minded Catholics who are extremely concerned about Francis's over-the-top crackdown on the traditional Latin Mass, the Tridentine Mass. Is it okay if we call it Tridentine Mass now? I think it's okay. I think the ordinary versus extraordinary bit is officially done, thanks to Francis. But the author of this America piece is practically begging Francis not to punish all the good folks with the families and the rafts of little kids and all that all around the world attending the traditional Latin Mass, the Tridentine Mass, not because they're counter-revolutionaries, but because that's what they identify with, and that's where their souls are nourished, and that's where they're healthy, productive, living members of society going to a Catholic Mass, traditional Catholic Mass. Why are they being punished? Just because of a few troublemakers on the internet. And this is what the question in America Magazine asks. It's a fair point. Why is he doing this? Is Francis really so easily triggered by trolls that he's going to take down an entire cross-section of the faithful because of a few people on Facebook who are bitter about something? Is Francis dealing with anger management right now? Well, this doesn't make any sense. He's the Pope. He's supposed to think about the good of the whole community, not just go off on a hot flash because he's mad about somebody who doesn't like Vatican II. This doesn't make sense. In fact, it doesn't line up. And by the way, who are these troublemakers, loudmouth troublemakers on the internet? Francis doesn't say, you know? But whoever they are, it's because of them, supposedly, that Francis is making war on the 2,000-year-old liturgical patrimony of the Catholic Church. And nobody, including America Magazine, has any idea why. Why is he doing this? You know, Francis is uniting Catholics across the entire spectrum now around one nagging little question. Holiness, what is your problem? What is wrong with you? I mean, nobody's going for this. Apart from maybe Nancy Pelosi and Abe Foxman, nobody is supporting this bizarre papal behavior. Yeah, Foxman, you got the, okay, we'll give you that, Holiness. You got Abe Foxman. He tweeted out this week, "Thank you, Pope Francis, for restricting the Latin Mass. That was insulting to Jews." Oh, Abe, come on, man. Give it a break. You're going back to that whole thing. Throw that tweet out. I guess it's already up on the screen. Check it out, though. He's got a couple of retweets and 15 likes, Abe does. That little old Francis fan club is dwindling a little bit. Friends, this is insane. And just an example of providential irony or whatever it is, even the Novus Ordo now is apparently screaming at Francis. Get this. 2 days after Traditionis Custodis was detonated, and I do mean detonated, the first reading of the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time actually thunders at Francis. We'll throw it up on a screen. It says, "Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them, but I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock and bring them back to their meadow. There they shall increase and multiply." There is no such thing as coincidences. Remember, this came out 2 days after Francis tried to blow up the Latin Mass. Now, this is got to be honest, friends, what's really going on here. You see, because it's not because of a few nameless, faceless loudmouths on the internet that Francis is trying to cancel the Latin Mass. You know why it is? Look to your Novus Ordo, 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's because of that remnant, which is increasing and multiplying all over the world, while Pope Francis is worried about plastic straws in the ocean and shutting down the Novus Ordo during COVID, while Pope Francis is outlawing the Novus Ordo Mass, private masses, in the Basilica of St. Peter's. You see? See, that's what this is all about. He's got a problem, not just with the traditional Mass. He's got a problem with the Mass in general. He's aiding and assisting the lunatics of Davos in shutting down the world economy. Now, this gets really interesting, doesn't it? Given St. Robert Bellarmine's contention that just as it is licit to resist the pontiff who aggresses the body, it is also licit to resist the pontiff who disturbs civil order. Unemployment, suicide rampant, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, right? We've seen it over the past year, haven't we? Heck, Francis, one could make the case, is as much to blame for the crisis at the southern border of the United States right now as Joe Biden and George Soros and the rest of these clowns. They're all on the same team.
Uomini, donne e bambini innocenti e che anche quando cercano di entrare in altra parte gli chiudono la porta. E sono lì al confine perché tante porte e tanti cuori sono chiuse.
Francis, you'll recall, did his utmost to cancel Donald Trump, didn't he? Probably the most pro-life president in the history of this country. Francis helped to get rid of him, and now he's teaming up with this character Biden, this tool of the New World Order, this stooge of Davos, to force the entire world to get a vaccination passport and all of that entails. At Davos, where the powers of darkness seem to have made their headquarters, Francis's lunatical pals right now are threatening the entire civil order of the entire world.
The COVID-19 pandemics just has accelerated certain trends which we had seen before and which actually were discussed in Davos this year, like the lack of inclusion, the lack of paying sufficient attention to the environment. So What we will see now is acceleration of those trends, and of course, a unique opportunity to reset our global agenda.
And yet on the 50th anniversary of the World Economic Forum, Francis sent his envoy to deliver a papal blessing to Klaus Schwab.
This is to Professor Klaus Schwab, executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. As the World Economic Forum celebrates its 50th anniversary, I send greetings and prayerful good wishes to all taking part.
You got to be a rad trad to be concerned about this? Something ridiculous. Look what's happening around the world. In places like Italy and in France, they're a little ahead of us again. Now the COVID's coming back through. Italy and France, there are mass demonstrations against forced vaccinations and the Green Pass. We'll throw a bit of that video up on the screen. It almost looks like the police are joining in, doesn't it? And yet during Francis's upcoming visit to Slovakia, you've heard this, guess what? You're going to need your Green Pass to attend the papal mass. He couldn't possibly be any more on board with these guys. And you know what that means? If your kids want to go back to college, want to go back to school this fall without being vaccinated, you can forget about that religious exemption. You're not going to get it. We'll throw that up on the screen. This is happening all across the country. The Catholic Church does not authorize a religious exemption from getting vaccine because, wait for it, Francis is promoting it. Now, why is he doing this? I'll tell you why. It's becoming clearer every day. Because the Holy Father has partnered with globalists. And the globalists are creating a global body now, a global entity that will merge global security. Pay attention to this. This is happening right now and it affects you directly. It will merge global security and global health under the guise of preventing pandemics and violent crimes in the future, even before they happen. You see? Yeah, we're getting into science fiction now. And Francis is right there with him. That's the future that Klaus Schwab has laid out in his two or three of his books. And that's the future that now Joe Biden, when he's able to string sentences together, is trotting out for the whole country.
The Defense Department has an agency called DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. The people who set up before I came here, and that's been a long time ago, to develop breakthroughs that enhance our national security. That's their only job. And it's a semi-separate agency. It's under the Defense Department. The National Institute of Health, the NIH, I believe, should create a similar advanced research projects agency for health.
Now, this super-duper groovy global technocracy is going to be able to prevent everything, not just pandemics, by keeping you, making sure that you don't spread your germs around the world. It's going to be able to prevent crime, you see, because they're looking at psychological health. We will have to prove our psychological health as well. So they'll be able to prevent, this is what they're telling us, they'll be able to prevent the crises, such as the January 6th insurrection nightmare that it was. Oh, the humanity. Turn it off. Turn it off. It's horrific. Look what happened. Look at those poor people. Oh, my gosh. You see? But the good news is, if you were upset by that video as I was, you'll never have to see this again. We will never have to see such carnage again. Because Big Brother, he's going to be able to monitor and control your mental health, the mental health of those guys that were involved in the insurrection. And all we need, all the rest of us need to do to go about our regular lives in peace and harmony and unicorns and all of that is, well, we'll just have to carry our mandatory health passport, our green passport, to prove that we are safe. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be My Body, a Big Brother's Choice. And the thing is, as we're finding out right now, if you resist, Klaus Schwab tells us in his Fourth Industrial Revolution book that no one's read, you will be responsible for what he calls an increasing degree of polarization in the world that will create class conflicts and other clashes unlike anything we have ever seen before. You get it? So they're disrupting the whole world. They're resetting the whole world. And if anyone would kind of like to go back to life as they knew it, the old normal, well, they're going to be a thought criminal. Sound familiar? It would to Orwell. And that brings us back to Francis. You see what he's doing? He's doing his part. Because the church, because Christianity is still the strongest body against this demonic insanity. So Francis is doing his part by taking down a significant force of resistance. He's doing his part. So those who attend the old Latin Mass, guess what? They're not embracing the change. They're psychologically unfit. They're antisocial. They're dangerous. It's not because of his bishops. He blamed his bishops. He said, well, he had taken a poll, and bishops said something has to happen with those traditional Catholics. I mean, that's a silly, stupid, ridiculous lie that the Vatican's trotting out. See, Francis didn't listen to his bishops on this thing any more than he listened to the indigenous peoples of the Amazon. I was in Rome when he was supposedly listening to the indigenous peoples of the Amazon. That's why he decided to trot out the pagan idols into St. Peter's Basilica, listening to the people, so then he could do whatever he wants and turn around and tell the press in grand fashion, I am merely doing what the indigenous peoples have asked me to do. You see how it works? You see how this son of a gun works? He was exploiting the indigenous people. I watched him do it in the Vatican press office. He trotted them out in their feathers. As racist as you can get. Trotted them out in their feathers so that he could prove that he was merely doing the bidding of the poor indigenous who have no voice. And now he's doing the same thing. Only instead of indigenous peoples, it's his bishops he's blaming. So much for synodality, Francis. This has nothing to do with synodality. This is the iron will of Pope Francis. So he's exploiting his bishops for the same reason, by the way, to push the globalist agenda. The reason he was put in the chair of St. Peter in the first place. The same reason, by the way, that he does his best, doesn't he? To rid the world of the nationalists' scourges, such as Donald Trump and Matteo Salvini with his rosary. Well, because these are leaders, friends, from the old normal. These are leaders who believe in God, who believe in country, borders, family, over globalism. And Francis is going to take them down. He's going to send them to hell. If there's any way he can do it. He hates them. You see? The Great Reset is going to get rid of all that mumbo jumbo about God and country and family and all those things. They're going to get rid of that. That's the old normal. The new normal will have nothing to do with that. And that's precisely why, friends, everywhere you go, everything you do, everything you say, every conversation you have, push that God, country, and family message because they got no answer for it. I was out standing in front of my own Capitol last week doing just that.
Because it's a three-pronged attack on us, the enemies of everything that we believe. What are they attacking? And what have they been attacking for a long time? God! Family and country. It's a massive propaganda, a distraction to keep us jumping through their hoops while they're actually planning to establish the Great Reset.
It's very important that we understand what we're dealing with. It can be defeated. I'm not trying to freak you out. I'm not trying to be sensationalist or the sky is falling. This cray-cray, as the kids say, can be defeated, but you got to know what it is. Okay? So the Great Reset, what it is, it's going to use technology and all the new things that are coming. They're so beautiful, so wonderful, to replace religion. They're going to replace religion with science. That's why the traditional Latin Mass had to go, because fundamentally it has the power to unite millions of people in a common cause to serve God. They're going to replace all that. Replace religion with science. Replace countries with globalism. And, of course, replace family with the state. The first thing they did, they went after God, and then they went after family, didn't they? Even 75, 80 years ago. You see, now Francis is cracking down on the Latin Mass because it's antithetical to unity, he says. It's antithetical, actually, to the Great Reset that he's completely on board with. And you know what? When he says this about the Latin Mass, he's absolutely right. I absolutely agree with him. That's what the Latin Mass does. That's what the faith of our fathers does. You see, there's no room for that in the Novus Ordo. And by Novus Ordo, I mean New Order. Funny that they use the same words, isn't it? The New World Order has no room for the traditional Latin Mass, for the faith of our fathers, for fundamental Christianity. They go rad, dangerous Christianity. They're at war with Christianity. And what do they got to replace Christianity with? What do they have? What are their stories? Can you imagine getting behind globalism? What kind of a song do you write about globalism? What kind of movies do you make about globalism? What kind of books do you write about globalism and clean air? They got nothing, friends. And they so have nothing now that decade after decade, they trot out the same stupid, tired, lousy crap from John Lennon. They cannot get enough of his Imagine. The man was shot and killed in this new world he was imagining. That doesn't matter. He's still the visionary of the New World Order. It's going to be Imagine. That's what they think. They tear up when they sing it. It's going to be Imagine versus 2,000 years of Catholic history, liturgy, culture, music, architecture, glory, crusaders, saints, martyrs, and the greatest story ever told. Here they are, trotting it out once again in Tokyo. Oh, shut up already. Come on. Woodstock is over. Timothy Leary is dead. Knock it off with the tie-dye t-shirts and the ponytails. Imagine that. No countries at the Olympics. Imagine no countries. The irony is wasted on them. But much more sobering, and much more startling, and much more perverse that they line up the kiddies of the world and ask them to sing with their little hearts out, Imagine a World with No Religion. Imagine a world with no God. Isn't that sweet? Now, here's the thing, guys. We don't have to imagine John Lennon anymore. John Lennon's dream has become our nightmare, hasn't it? Without the religion they were imagining a world that didn't have, without religion, our cities are what? They're burning to the ground. Our kids are getting gunned down every night. Our teens killing themselves because they can't stand this new imagined world of the future without God and religion, right? Imagine no countries. Well, without the countries, we're doing pretty well right now. Without the borders, right? Our homeland is being overrun by drug lords and sex traffickers and abusers of children. That's working out pretty good, isn't it? Our streets are becoming killing fields. Cops lie dead in the gutters and chaos rules in that imagined world without countries. Imagine that. Imagine no possessions, John Lennon dreams. You will own nothing and you will be happy. You see the parallel? Imagine all the people living life in peace. What are you smoking? How about living in globalist hell? How about all the people of the world being brainwashed into loving their servitude, as Aldous Huxley predicted incredibly in the something called The Ultimate Revolution, which is a speech he gave back in 1962. In that speech, Huxley imagines the future, and it ain't pretty. He imagines all the people in the future, quote, living in a dictatorship without tears, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies where people will have their liberties taken away from them, but they will enjoy it because they will be brainwashed. They will be distracted from any desire to rebel against it. They'll be distracted by the propaganda, the brainwashing, or as Huxley says, brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. Does it sound familiar? So is it really any wonder why so many decent bishops now, guys that are figuring it out, something's gone literally to hell now. It's out of control. These bishops are realizing this now. And now they're suddenly standing in defense of the traditional Latin Mass communities all over this country. Have you noticed the statements that most of them are releasing? The Mass isn't going to go away. No, we kind of need that Mass. It's staying in my diocese. We see this over and over again. And why? Because Imagine Land is becoming the Twilight Zone, a nightmare right before our eyes. Which is, again, why men who are not traditionalists, bishops who are not traditionalists, such as Bishop Rob Mutsertz, I guess I'm saying his name right, in the Netherlands, no traditional Catholic, and yet he came out very quickly publishing a critique of Francis's motu proprio on the liturgy. You know what he called it? He called it an evil edict. He called it a declaration of war. He called it dictatorial. He called it unpastoral. He called it unmerciful. He called it exactly what it is. God bless you, Your Excellency, for finally growing a backbone and saying what all the bishops in the world should be saying right now. And while I'm at it, God bless you, Bishop Strickland of Tyler, Texas, who retweeted that same article saying he had no choice. We'll throw it up on the screen. They're waking up, friends. There are good bishops who've been hog-tied and shackled by collegiality and the spirit of Vatican II for too long. But Francis is too much. Francis has jumped the shark. Francis has overplayed his hand. Everybody knows what he is now. They're figuring it out. Even the neo-Catholics have had enough. God bless them. George Weigel, you know, the biographer of Pope John Paul II, guess what? He describes Francis's motu proprio as theologically incoherent, pastorally divisive, unnecessary, and cruel. Thank you, Mr. Weigel. God bless you for saying what needs to be said. I know we have our disagreements. Thank you. And I'll just ask yourself, what's been going on for a long time? What brought us to this point? Why have these men been at war with that old Latin Mass for so long? Not just the Mass, but everything the Mass represents, traditional Catholicism, the doctrine, the history of the old faith of our fathers. Why have they been at war with it for so long? Don't you think it's probably because they really are the infiltrators that the prophetic Saint Pius X warned us about 100 years ago? The ones who he said propose a universal apostasy that stealthily creeps into the very veins of the church. Don't you think that's where we're at? What else would this be? Now, speaking to the bishops, and I know this is a difficult position for a lot of these bishops to be in. You know what? Traditional Catholics, we're on your side. We want to unite all the clans. We want you to lead us, Your Excellencies. These guys are not going to stop with the Latin Mass. You saw that. They canceled the Novus Ordo Masses in the Basilica of St. Peter. This is not a traditional Catholic issue. They're coming after the church. They spent the past 50 years shutting down the churches, selling the churches, getting rid of the churches, emptying the seminaries, right? Polluting the seminarians, right? For 50, 60, 70 years. COVID comes along, they shut the churches down, they cut off all of us from the sacraments, including old people, nursing homes. This is not a traditional Catholic issue. They're shutting down check that. They're canceling Christianity. Right now they're going after the Latin Mass. Soon enough they're going to go after the new Mass. You know why they're going to go after the new Mass? Because it is part of the old normal now too. All of that has to be eradicated. for the new liturgy, the new theology of John Lennon and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates. Don't you get it? Stand with us. Let's go to war, Your Excellencies. You know, I'm convinced. I don't think I'm just being overly optimistic. I think that a lot of these bishops are waking up. Bishop Thomas J. Tobin, not the, what's that clown? Good night, sweetie. Not the stupid Tobin that Francis is promoting to the highest levels, by the way, but the good Tobin in Rhode Island. I think he sees this. And I think that's why he made this beautiful little pilgrimage, personally delivering a message last Sunday to the traditional Catholics in his diocese in a little church of Turing St. Peter has started there. I want to show you just a little bit of what he said.
And I come very simply to offer a word of personal support, affirmation, and encouragement at a very challenging time in the life of your parish. I know that the publication of our Holy Father's Motu Proprio, Traditionis Custodes, has caused some anxiety and uncertainty for many adherents of the traditional Latin Mass. But I want you to be at peace. And I can assure you that as long as I am your bishop, I will do all that I can to support and affirm the existence and the ministry of St. Mary's Parish.
God bless you, Your Excellency. Thank you. And you know what, friends? Thank you for turning to St. Peter. Been a long road, hasn't it? Been a tough fight, but you've done this. And the best bishops in this country who are defending the traditional Latin Mass right now are the ones the fraternity went to and said, could you do our ordinations? Could you do our confirmations? They formed a relationship with those guys. And we've been saying this for a long time, since 88. There's a role for that inside, to try to bring the faith, bring the truth, bring the beauty of tradition on the inside of the Novus Ordo establishment. God bless them for doing that. God bless, by the way, thank you, by the way, Raymond Cardinal Burke, for pointing out publicly to our diabolically disoriented Pope. You told him, rightly so, that our Lord gave us the traditional Latin Mass, and he will not permit it to be eradicated from the life of the Church, even by the Pope. I'm not so depressed right now, friends. I can't believe the ecclesiastical firepower that's amassing right now to defend the traditional Mass. That's from God. That's a gift from God. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, we talk about him a lot, don't we? Thank you, Your Excellency, for being the game changer, quite frankly, in this case with Francis. Maybe you're the loudmouth on the internet that America Magazine is fretting about. I don't know. If you are, God bless you for doing that too. Archbishop Athanasius Schneider, our dear friend, thank you for your recent article or interview in The Remnant, in which you pointed out to the young seminarians who are freaking out right now because they want to say the Latin Mass and learning the training to say the Latin Mass, and all of a sudden they're being told by the Pope that they're out of luck. Thank you for telling them and the young priests that you need to ask for the right to use this common treasure, says Bishop Schneider, this treasure of the Church, he calls it, the traditional Latin Mass. And should you be denied this right, you need to use it nevertheless. Just as the non-juring priest did 200 years ago in the marshes and woods of the Vendée, they went in there and they kept the faith. Or the Catholics of the Western Uprising in England, who elevated, by the way, it's the Mass that matters. They elevated that to a battle cry. You know why? Because it is the Mass that matters. The Cristeros, the same way down in Mexico. Viva Cristo Rey. They kept on saying the Mass, even when it was illegal. And now the underground Catholics in communist China right now, suffering, dying for the faith of our fathers. And they've been, by the way, betrayed by Francis as well. And now, apparently, it's going to be our turn. As I said last time, it's going to be our honor to stand and defend the Mass that matters. Maybe it was just boot camp before. Now it's war. Now we're awake. Our eyes are open. We're not going anywhere, Francis. We're not going anywhere. This is our church. This is our castle. This is our mother. And we're going to stay and defend her. And we're going to fight for our birthright. You have our promise and our word on that. We know what to do. By your attack, Holy Father, on the mass of sacred tradition, On the mass of our fathers, you, Francis, have shown the whole world now what the devil fears most of all, the proper worship of Almighty God. You've shown us that. You've overplayed your hand. And thank God, friends. I know this has been really bizarre and difficult for all of us. What next? Now the Pope is outlawing the mass that we go to every Sunday. I know, it's tough. But don't forget this. The Pope himself has confirmed something that we were fighting about for a long time over the past 20 years, right? Pope Benedict XVI's hermeneutic of continuity. It's somehow the old church and the new church, the pre-conciliar church and the post-conciliar church. There was continuity there. It wasn't a break. We know this is certainly not what Francis believes. Francis absolutely believes this is something new. This is a break with the past. There is no hermeneutic of continuity. And Father Ray Blake is absolutely right when he tweets, if Francis is right, Benedict's hermeneutic of continuity is wrong. Vatican II and the Novus Ordo brought in something new, which is incompatible with what preceded it. We have a new religion, says Father Blake. He goes on to say that the Society of St. Pius X, the Archbishop Lefebvre, that would make them right to do what they did, to resist this break, this new religion. Everybody from George Weigel to Michael Matt now, to Raymond Arroyo and all across the spectrum, we all see something's going wrong in the Vatican. And traditional Catholic, we have survived 40 years in the desert. 40 years. And all of a sudden, because God is stepping in, blessed clarity is raining down on us like manna from heaven. Thank God for that. Thank God for it. The war isn't over. It's just begun. Finally, the sides have formed. God is gathering the remnant of his flock to increase and multiply throughout the whole world. When we do, it should be obvious, friends. Hold fast to tradition, and God will lead you into the promised land. Hold fast to tradition, and you will save not only your soul, but the souls of your children. Hold fast to tradition, and you will live to see the glory of the everlasting God of our fathers, friends. The whole point and purpose of our birth. It's why we're here. And there's nothing, Francis, Bill Gates, Joe Biden, or this God-forsaken New World Order can do about it. We're no longer on defense. We're on offense, and we're united. Thanks be to God for that. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV. Keep the faith. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week.